Thank you, Steve Bertrand. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Effen. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Tuesday. Welcome to the program. We're at 312-981-7200. Call us or text us. It's up to you.
All right, this is scary. It's going to be a scary day because you've been silly and cracked yourself up before we even really technically started the show.
Yeah, probably.
Wow, you're starting early today.
I'm on vacation mode, Wendy.
Tomorrow?
I'm taking one of these Steve Bertrand vacations. Steve has a travel agency. You can go anywhere you want in the world at an affordable price. My family and I are headed out to Valparaiso, Indiana tomorrow.
Wow, that's a good choice.
Yeah.
How long of a flight is that?
It's not a long flight. It's a very short flight.
Does it take longer to go through security than the actual flight?
Yeah, that's what we've been told that. Yeah.
So SteveBertrandTravel.com.
SteveBertrandTravel.com for all your travel needs.
What are you going to do there?
Sightsee. There's a couple tour packages that we've already signed up for.
Make sure you get to see the Homer Drew exhibit at Valpo University.
That's one of the highlights.
Yeah, it is.
We're looking forward to that. And then we're going to the Qdoba Grill tomorrow night for dinner. So it's going to be nice.
Did he put this package together for you? Wow,
yeah.
That's good.
Actually, there they call it the Qdoba Grill.
Right, the pronunciation's different. I said, I need something for under $8,000. He goes, we can pull this off. So,
right. Actually, he's bringing 65 people and still under $8,000.
Right. It's very affordable. Very affordable. Steve, thank you for doing this for me. I really appreciate it.
And you know, the discount's there.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
You know, vacation starts tomorrow, not right now.
What? Tomorrow? All right. Whatever. Welcome to the show. I've already said that. It should be a good show. I don't know. I'm looking at the sheet. Yeah, it looks like a pretty good show. So we're glad that you're here. There is some controversy surrounding one of my all-time heroes, John McEnroe, Wendy.
Does this surprise you really, though? Because it's not really that surprising to me.
It does.
And he was nice to us.
Yeah, he was. I thought he was very nice to us. Wasn't he, John McEnroe?
We're no threat to him.
We're no threat to John McEnroe. He was talking about the preeminent tennis player of, I believe, of our generation and maybe beyond, Serena Williams, who is an amazing tennis player. There's no doubt about it. So they asked him, they asked John McEnroe to rank her, and he said that she's the number one woman tennis player. And then they said, well, why did you throw the woman part in there? That's unnecessary. Just say she's the number one tennis player. And he said, well, she's not the number one tennis player. She's the number one woman tennis player. She'd probably rank around number 700 if you included guys and girls. And then everybody went nuts and said, well, that's not nice. That's not fair.
It's not nice. It's not fair. And I don't think she'd be 700.
I'm going to be very realistic. If you had a ranking that included both men and women, she would not be number 700, but she'd be somewhere around, realistically, 80 to 100, somewhere in there.
I believe that, but that's not 700.
Right.
Valparaiso just called. They want you to go somewhere else.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
That ain't nice. That's not nice at all. So when you think about this, I mean, I know what he was doing. He was giving her a compliment originally.
And then taking it back.
And then taking it back, which he shouldn't have done.
Why doesn't he say, you know, if we're going men, she'd be in the top 100. But 700 was such a slap in the face.
I don't know why he set a number that low. And then he didn't back off of it because they've given him chances to reevaluate. And he was kidding the other day. I think it was yesterday. It was yesterday. And he revamped it and he goes, I'm going to put her at number 5, which is also not very realistic. She's not... There's a big difference. It's one of those sports where, as sad as this is, it's true. There's a big difference between the men's and the women's. There just is.
Why is that?
Most of it's strength and speed. Most of it. Guys just hit harder. They just do. The serves are a lot faster and harder to return. You could even stop with that one. Men just serve faster and harder, and that split second makes all the difference in tennis.
That's true.
There's other sports, too, where it's, look at golf. I'm not a golfer, but if you go to any golf course, you'll notice they have the men's tees and the women's tees, and the women's tees are much closer up because women can't hit it as far and as hard and as strong. They can't.
I use those.
The women's tees, why not? They're easier.
I didn't realize it was exclusively women.
Right. They call them the women's tees. It doesn't mean only women can use them.
She tweeted a response to him. Excuse me. It's a Dear John tweet, because it really is.
John McEnroe.
Dear John, I adore and respect you, but please, please keep me out of your statements that are not factually based. I've never played anyone ranked there, nor do I have time. Respect me and my privacy as I'm trying to have a baby. Good day, sir.
Well, oh, did she close with good
yes,
day, sir?
Yes.
Oh, I respect her even more. I love that. I love when you end something with those words. That's so peaceful and yet so harsh at
good
the same
day,
time.
Sir.
Good day, sir. it's so old English of her. I enjoy that very much. Nobody ranks them together. There is no tennis ranking anywhere that I know of. It's possible it exists. I've never seen it, where they rank both men and women together. There's just too much of a disparity between what a man and a woman can do on the court. It's not even opinion. It's just fact. I don't know how you can't get around that.
Well, maybe what they should do after Serena has her baby, which she's on the cover of Vanity Fair, which Demi Moore did first.
Right.
Her pregnant, naked self.
Right. Oh, they've even said that it pays homage to that.
Absolutely.
And by the way, her unborn baby is ranked higher than I am right now in tennis. I'm a pretty good player, but that baby ranks higher than me, and the baby has not been born yet.
Phil. Why don't they do another Battle of the Sexes after she has her baby? Why don't they do the Bobby Riggs, Billie Jean King thing, just for the heck of it? This is a good setup to that, isn't it?
That's interesting. I wonder if both parties would play along to something like that. Now, he just said, McEnroe, he's been doing some backpedaling over the last couple of days, said he ranks something like 15, like in the women's only ranking, he currently ranks number 1,500, as if to say, look, I'm older and slower now. I'm not just talking.
Too late.
It is too late. It is too late. He's already made enemies.
I hope he was just kidding.
I think he was just kidding. But are people mad at him because he's pointing out the obvious that there's a difference between the two sexes in the sport? Or are they mad at him because he ranked her 700? She wouldn't be 700.
I think that's what people are mad about.
She's the best. She is the best woman tennis player in the world, and maybe of all time, probably of all time.
But why couldn't he just give her that?
Well, he started out just giving her that, but then as people scrutinized it and said, well,
gotta zip your lip.
Why are you saying the woman part? Why don't you just say player? And then he got in trouble.
Who asked the question?
It was a provocative question.
You know, I mean,
it's a guy from NPR whose last name is
Garcia. You're speaking too loudly.
Oh, sorry. Right. On NPR, we must be very quiet, as though a golf game were being played in front of us. His last name is Garcia Navarro, but I don't see a first name listed. I don't know what his first name is.
I do too. Why do I know that name?
I don't know who he is.
But you know what I mean. If McEnroe offered the answer, and then the question is kind of, not that he should be excused for his answer, but you know, it's kind of a provocative question.
I have to be honest. During our interview with John McEnroe a month ago, if this had come up, I would have asked the same exact question. Why did you have to qualify it by saying the best woman? Yeah.
You even who just said that there's such a disparity between men and women, you still would have asked that?
I would have asked it because I would have said, couldn't you have worded it more cleanly so that she might not have been offended by it?
Well, why would she be offended by being called the best women's tennis player in the world?
Can I say that
that's her sport.
Garcia Navarro's a woman. It's Lulu. That's why she said that. Why did you say woman?
Right.
Well, you didn't hear it, Wendy, but...
Well, no, I...
No, but you're giving her sass already.
I am not being sassy. I think that a woman is standing up for another woman and perhaps said that for that reason.
If it was an LPGA player and you said she's the best female golfer, would you ask, well, why did you say female? She's on the women's golfing tour.
But there would still be a percentage of people that would want to know why it's qualified that way. Why can't you just say the best? But they don't play together. Right.
If they played together, if there weren't two separate leagues, then you don't have to ask it.
Right. It's like when, I'm sure you've heard this argument before, people have said, it's time with like Academy Award type shows. Why do they qualify it as best male actor, best female actress? Why don't you just have an acting award? Why do you have to separate the men from the women? But I don't know that they would ever do that, would they?
I think they might. But
do you think they might?
I could see that happening, but that's a little different because
that's an even playing field.
Right, they're playing the same game with the same tools.
Right, that's an even playing field. So that makes it even trickier, doesn't it? Let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll discuss this and plenty of other things. There's a bunch of calls. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call us or text us there. It's Bill F., and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, there's a new Battle of the Sexes going on.
I like your idea, by the way. Wouldn't that be fun to watch? John McEnroe and Serena Williams squaring off. But does that mean that we've reverted back to the 70s when it was Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King? Because it would be a circusy atmosphere.
But I think he has set this up by saying this, and he mentioned, well, I think you said this, Bill, but just let's get the deets from Susan right now. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I really think this whole thing is a tempest in a teapot, but John McEnroe was on CBS this morning with Gayle King and Charlie Rose, and they were talking about this, and of course he said he thought she was the best player, probably women's player that ever played the game. And so in the conversation, they asked him, well, where would you put yourself, you know, overall? And he said he put himself at about 1,200.
And is that overall meaning men and women?
No, I don't remember that the overall was the correct word. I think he was talking about, he said.
Uh-oh,
sorry,
she got
Susan.
Censored. She swore.
John McEnroe cut her off.
I found it right here. He said that he would now rank 1,200th. On the woman's circuit if he played full-time. So I don't know if he was trying to be funny.
He was.
I guess he was.
He was trying to be.
He was trying to be funny.
But here's the thing. If he's saying he's older and not as quick as he used to be, it's a great matchup.
In all honesty, it would be a pretty good matchup. I watched him play a month ago at the UIC Pavilion, and I was amazed at how good he still is. He's 58 years old. He was still a really solid player at 58, and why wouldn't he be?
She really should come out and say, okay, 700, let's go head-to-head after I get this baby out of me.
Except if she loses...
Big
and,
deal!
And there's a good chance she'd lose, doesn't that hurt her cause a little bit?
No, I think it should just be a game that's played. It's
yeah,
not
just
like,
for fun?
Who cares?
Yeah, I know. He also said the other day, and this was a weird quote that I read up on, and it was the more I read, the weirder it got. He said, John McEnroe said that Andy Warhol ruined his sex life. So I just saw the headline and then I read it, and it was about John McEnroe wanting to hang out at Studio 54 back when he was a tennis player, and every time he went there, Andy Warhol wouldn't stop taking his picture. It didn't make any sense. I don't know.
Oh, so he couldn't hit on women because Andy was stalking him.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
I thought it had something to do with the banana picture that Andy did. I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
All right, Craig wants to talk tennis. Hi, Craig.
Hello?
Hello.
Craig, there you are. Hi. What's up?
This is Craig.
Oh, sorry.
That's what? All right. The reason I was calling, I wanted to make a reference back to when you mentioned Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King.
Yeah.
After they had that big tournament after he had beaten Margaret Court.
Yeah.
It had been reported. Now, there's no way to know whether this is true or not, but it had been reported because Bobby Riggs was such a big-time hustler and going for money that, in fact, many years afterwards, that he had actually thrown that match possibly against Billie Jean because he made an incredible amount of money in doing so.
I've heard that rumor for years, but I will tell you this. He was a bigger egomaniac than he cared about money, and I think it would have meant more to him to lose. He did, spoiler alert, he lost the match, but his ego was so bruised by that that I think that despite all the money he would have made, he would have rather have won the match.
Probably right. I didn't know you were aware of that fact, but just wanted to bring it to your attention.
And what is your name again?
Greg.
Greg.
Greg, there's a movie coming out, I want to say around the end of the year, with Emma Stone and Steve Carell. And they already made a made-for-TV movie about this match, but there's a feature film coming out, and I'm pretty sure they address those rumors in the movie. I'm almost positive that comes up in the movie.
Good.
All right.
I'll watch it.
All right. Thanks,
Greg. Thank you, Greg.
Have a good week.
Do you think you asked 100 people today who won that match that 51 of them would get it right?
Because
I wouldn't have.
I didn't remember who won it.
I don't remember either. No.
Really?
I didn't.
But
I'm not a huge tennis fan.
I'm sorry, Billie Jean.
No, that's...
Are you calling Bill Billie Jean?
No.
Billie Jean is not my lover. She's just a girl.
Don't go high.
I think if you followed it as closely as I did at the time, you'd probably remember. But I imagine for most of America, it just kind of came and went.
Wow, it was a huge deal back then. But
Billie Jean King won?
Yeah.
I knew it was in the Astrodome.
It was in the Houston Astrodome, right.
I didn't realize that Serena Williams played the Australian Open while pregnant.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So what is that? Does that move her up?
I think
was she in doubles?
Yeah.
She did not drop a set as she won all seven matches at the Australian Open in the heat
while
pregnant.
That? While pregnant. Gal Gadot played Wonder Woman while she was pregnant.
Boy, America's changing.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that is amazing.
That's incredible. All right, we must take a break. A quick break. Steve with the news and then a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's nice to hear Brookfield mentioned in the weather. Because, you know, I'm Brookfield's favorite daughter. They don't know that, but...
But you are.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Born and bred there.
They'll figure it out eventually.
I loved working at Brookfield Zoo when I lived in Brookfield. It was a great summer job. I have done some research on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I looked around, and mm-hmm. I found that there are 5 summer jobs that can be harmful to your mental health.
Oh. All right. What are they?
Radio intern.
Radio intern,
no,
for sure.
But sit tight on the radio thing, because then I have some jobs that are good for your health.
Oh.
Stand by for that.
Right.
These are the bad for your health. Excuse me. Cemetery groundskeeper. Being surrounded by reminders of death for prolonged periods of time could harm your mental well-being, especially if you're a sensitive individual.
Yeah. I would imagine year-round that that would be a job that would be a little...
Don't you get used to it,
sad.
Though?
I always thought that about morticians... But I talked to a guy once. And I go, at some point, you just realize this is, and he goes, no, it's always sad. It's always
really?
Kind of sad. Yeah.
I was kind of one of those, a cemetery groundskeeper.
Were you, Kev?
Sort of.
I didn't know that.
I was a groundskeeper at a prairie, and on the grounds, there was like a family, like an old family cemetery that we had to
maintain.
Keep. Yeah.
Did you ever bury anyone?
Nope.
Mm.
Did you get a little teary eyed when you went by the actual cemetery area of this prairie?
No. It was cool. It was beautiful. It was like surrounded by woods and stuff. But yeah, it was just a really, I mean, it was tiny. It was not very big at all.
Were they buried years and years and years ago?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever do a seance?
Yeah, a few of those.
A few seances?
Yeah.
That's excellent. Little cemetery on the prairie.
I would think.
We used to watch that show when my daughters were young.
And then the audiences died.
Yeah.
Laura Ingalls, not so wild anymore.
No. Nope.
I would think it'd be kind of healthy to be at a cemetery. You know, help you come to terms with it. You know, the fact that people die and you get over it. I mean,
guys,
unless you're the person. Yeah.
But think about ER doctors that see terrible things and surgeons
true.
That lose people. I mean, it's part of the job.
Right. I guess so.
I mean, yeah, it would be more fun to be a groundskeeper at Disney.
Yeah.
But,
right.
You know.
Right.
I don't know.
All right. Here is another we're talking about 5 summer jobs that can be harmful to your mental health. Overnight shift anywhere. Working when it's dark and sleeping when the sun is up can affect your moods negatively because of a lack of vitamin D. You worked overnight. I worked overnight. Steve, I'm sure you did when you first started. That is a tough game.
You know what, though? If
you liked it.
Like, I'm a night person, so I would rather work overnights than mornings. And almost everybody goes, what? What are you talking about? Why? I'm more comfortable in those hours. I like the night more than the day.
I like to sleep when it's dark out, though. It's hard to sleep.
That's...
When you did the shift work, you'd get home.
And then sleep.
And it's hard.
Yeah. You never really catch up.
No, and you're like turned around.
Right.
It's great to, you know, go to the post office or have doctor's appointments because no one's there at like 10 a.m.
Right. Yeah, that's the positive in it. But there were all kinds of reports. I remember when I got the job, Bill White was the guy who hired me to do nights here, and he said, "Hey, look this up." He goes, "Your chances of everything from diabetes to overeating to there were like 14 or 15 things where your odds go up.
High blood pressure.
Working. High blood pressure was on there. Heart attacks were on there.
Welcome to the team."
And Bill goes, "Where do I
sign me up? I want in."
a prison guard.
Oh, well, of course, yeah.
A positive aspect is that you'll probably appreciate the freedom you have. However, the experience of being immersed in a job where you are in regular contact with individuals who've committed violent crimes can be mentally taxing.
Yeah, that would always be tough.
Landscaping, they're saying.
Why landscaping?
I don't know. I would love to do that.
I would think they'd be on the positive
side. If you're accustomed to a life of comfort and repeatedly checking your phone, landscaping will probably be a nightmare summer job for you. Getting up in the early hours to do laborious work can test a person's patience, dedication, and self-motivation. It's not a job for everyone.
I understand it's not a job for everyone, but I would think for the people who choose that job, that would be like almost a dream job, wouldn't you think?
Yes, I would.
I'm surprised that one's on there.
And the final one I thought would hit home for you, Bill. One of the jobs that is most stressful and not good for your mental health is a theme park mascot.
Yeah.
Listen to what they say.
I'm sure it's awful.
In addition to being regularly overheated, you may be constantly pulled in different directions and risk mistreatment from kids, parents, and your employer.
I know that to be a fact.
For people who don't have patience or a sense of humor, this is an awful summer job to have. They will punch you, you said.
Not to name drop, but as you know, Wendy, I was Captain Conduit for a week at McCormick Place, and I was treated awfully by both children and adults. I was punched nonstop all day, every day. There was a line of people to punch me.
It does seem really weird. Did the Pillsbury Doughboy start this where people used to press his tummy so then they felt that they could keep touching mascots?
Yeah, I would see it like when we would go to Disney World and you can see it locally at Great America. If there's somebody dressed like Daffy Duck or...
Do they get it right in the nose or the beak?
It doesn't matter. It's just...
That's so weird.
Humans as a group just find some pleasure in... You know, beating up on somebody dressed as a mascot. I don't know why. I don't know. Like, I have no urge to do that.
Because they don't think it hurts.
Is that what it is, Steve?
Yeah, right? But why are they punching these, a lot of times, sweet-looking creatures? Chip and Dale are really cute.
Right.
Why would you
They're
punch them?
They're just fun. I don't know why. I don't have that
You don't
urge.
Punch your stuffed animals, do you?
You don't punch
no.
your stuffed animals?
No.
Not
no,
anymore.
Steve, you're not supposed to. But at Disney now, like... When I was a kid, when you'd go to Disneyland or Disney World, they would just walk around. There's the three little pigs, so you could hug them or punch them, whatever you feel like doing. But now,
or
like
blow them down,
right? If you feel the urge, you could do that. But now they all have a
tasers
like a guard. They're not allowed to carry tasers.
Wouldn't that be something?
They're not allowed to.
What would Mickey Mouse say? You
oh,
know?
Oh, you better not hug me. Look what I've got, sugar.
And then they show you the taser.
Well, wouldn't a hug be okay, Mickey?
A hug is fine, Wendy.
What if they punch you?
No, when to say when.
But if they get physical, they all have, like at Disney, they all have like this guard that stands by them now.
Really?
So that they don't get manhandled by the public. Yeah. It's terrible, isn't it? I can't believe that people, and it's not just kids, like you go, well, kids don't know any better. When I was Captain Conduit, the average person who punched me was 35 years old.
And knew his way around a toolbox.
Right, right.
All right.
Maybe that's why he was punching me, because I don't know anything about tools. So
You weren't really Captain Conduit.
Oh, yes, he was.
You really were.
At McCormick Place for a four-day convention. It was the worst days of my life.
But ask him why he did it, Steve.
Why'd you do it,
Bill? A lot of money. Big money. But they didn't say to me, like, if I got paid per punch, I would have
been a millionaire.
I would have been a millionaire because I just got punched all day by women and children and men.
And they were all plumbers or electricians too, right?
Most of them were. Other mascots would come and punch me. Sammy the Screwdriver would come and he'd pound me.
Did you have a big guy come try to bend you?
Yes. Yes.
All right, well, I had to share that with you because that's a bad summer job. But the good ones, there are three that are really beneficial to your mental health. Camp counselor. Your daily activities are subject to constant change. You have the opportunity to be a leader, advisor to others. There's a healthy amount of responsibility, and this type of job can help a person mentally mature.
Oh, I could see that, sure.
Although Brady, little kids sometimes do not want to listen.
Kylie was a camp counselor last year. She loved it. She loved every day. Couldn't wait to do it.
Here's another job good for your mental health in the summer, a lifeguard.
Yeah.
It can be mentally fulfilling with a great deal of responsibility, for instance, saving someone's life. I would not want to do that. I just would want to twirl my whistle.
We were just talking about that. My daughter was a lifeguard. My wife was a lifeguard. That would be the most stressful thing to me.
Just to know that at any moment you could be called into action. Yeah,
That's scary.
They're young kids who's have so much responsibility.
Right.
Lifeguards are often in good physical condition, which can have a positive impact on mental health. And also because there can be significant downtime, it allows an individual the opportunity for personal reflection.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Or boredom, whatever you want to look at.
There can't be any downtime, except a lot of pools do this thing now where for 10 minutes out of every hour, there's no kids allowed in the pool.
Yeah, Adult Swim.
So I guess you could kind of relax during that.
And finally, one of the top three jobs that helps your mental health, radio/TV industry. Can you believe this?
Is that
this?
Right? Yeah.
Being an assistant to radio or TV producers can be exciting, especially when a big story breaks. Individuals have to constantly be resourceful, think on their feet, and be able to quickly assess the needs that the producers they serve.
How about
serve.
That? Let's see if that's true. Kevin, is it an exciting job?
So this is supposed to be good for my health?
Yeah, it's good for your health.
Huh.
All right.
Enough said.
Didn't sound very convincing. We'll take a quick break. Bridget Carey of CNET joins us in just a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It is a Tech Tuesday, Bill, a Tech Tuesday. So we talked to CNET senior editor Bridget Carey. And beware, everyone, there's a new cyber attack in the making. What's going on, Bridget?
Yeah, it's just a Tuesday and another massive global worldwide cyber attack crippling government agencies, the usual. Hmm.
When did this happen?
This really kind of took place the past couple of hours. This is really hitting European businesses the most right now. It particularly is nasty in the Ukraine. It took out government agencies, energy companies, telecom companies, and it spread fast. And it's actually hitting some companies that do business around the world, and so it could affect some people in America right now. Like the largest shipping container line, it's a Danish company, Maersk. They right now have their whole IT system frozen, and so if they're at a port, I've heard a report that maybe they're at a port in New York right now. They just can't do anything. It also hit Russia's largest oil company, so they're still making oil, but their computers are frozen. This is one of these. It's a particularly nasty ransomware. They call it the Petya virus. This is something that once it's downloaded in a system. So say you click on a bad link or a phishing scam, instead of locking a particular file, it'll restart the computer, lock up the whole computer, and it won't even boot up to Windows. It'll just be in this black screen with white text going, you must pay $300 in Bitcoin to have us recover your computer. So when it hits a company, it'll spread across the company, right, their whole IT department once it's infected, and then everyone just can't do anything until there is a solution. Now, right now, we don't know exactly what the flaw is, but we're thinking, at least analysts are kind of throwing ideas out, that this looks like it's affecting computers that just never upgraded and patched their security updates like they should. A lot of companies use old Windows. Don't know who's at fault exactly. It's too early to tell. But at least that's the buzz right now with the cybersecurity world. I guess we'll learn more in a little while.
Bridget, is there reason to believe you said it's mainly hitting European companies here in the United States? Is this something we should be looking out for in the next few days or weeks?
If you work at a company that is still using Windows XP, say a prayer, because that's what, it's really easy to have this affect older machines that aren't patched. I think you find that in a lot of other countries more than here. At least you hope people learn their lessons. Then again, remember that one called WannaCry?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that hit hospital systems in the UK because they were using Windows XP 2 to save money and not upgrade. My mother-in-law in Florida works at a company that involves healthcare, and they use old computer systems because their software just runs better on that, and they don't want to pay to upgrade. It's very common. It's just it's not talked about often, and that's where you kind of run the risk of finding more problems, because Microsoft isn't supporting really old systems as much. They, you know, with WannaCry, it was such a big deal that they took the time to make an emergency patch for a system that's more than 10 years old, even though they don't put out security updates for that anymore because it's so ancient.
Mm-hmm.
It shows you that people are still using it. You have a major oil company. What are they using? We don't really know yet. Why were they hit? You know, but it's spreading fast. That's for sure.
All right. Well, with the WannaCry thing, was that ever figured out who was responsible for it? Because it seems to me it's not like some major terrorism thing, because they didn't use it really for evil. They just wanted money.
Yeah, that's what a lot of this lately is all about, you know, locking up your computer, making you pay Bitcoin. And in some cases, it never really unlocked. You know, they tell you don't pay the ransom because there's no guarantees all the time that it will unlock your computer. I don't know about this
case. Who's going to trust someone that hacked your computer right in the first place, you know, to give them $300 in Bitcoin? And how do I even do Bitcoin? Who's to say that they're going to release it?
It happens a lot. You know, we have in New York City some Bitcoin ATM machines.
Yeah.
And when you hang out around them long enough, you'll find, sadly, grandmas coming there because they click on them and they want to unlock their computer. They don't know what to do, and they try to figure it out. And, you know, you have to pay in 3 days, or if you don't pay within 3 days, the price goes up and the price goes up and the price goes up, and you have something really important on your computer that you really want, and they kind of cave and they just try to figure it out themselves. And then there's other people who are using Bitcoin for other reasons, but you always hear about this. You know, WannaCry is not over yet. I mean, there's a report that it hit like traffic light cameras in Japan and Australia just a few days ago. So, why are old systems running on things that aren't patched? Because not everyone's on top of everything. I don't know. I mean, like I said, when it comes to this one happening right now, I think we're going to hear more about what was going on. But the fact that it's not everywhere makes you kind of question, all right, you know, was Ukraine, for example, they're hit the hardest. Were they on top of everything? You know, how easy was it to spread?
It's really scary.
Terrible.
I'm scared to turn my computer on anymore. Although if you do have an antivirus, I think I have Trend Micro, and they said, if you are up to date,
you're fine.
You're protected from the WannaCry virus. They actually mentioned it by name. So update your security on your computer. Amazon.
I was going to say, there actually are some companies that don't even detect them when they're really new. So, yes, you should absolutely get virus scan. It's better than nothing. But keep in mind, when these things happen, not everyone can detect them right away. It depends on the brand you have, you know, of a virus scanner.
Yeah, that's true. All right, we need a giant condom for our computers. Mm-hmm. That's what we need.
Good idea.
Amazon Echo has been fun. My son Dylan has one. You can say play WGN radio and boom, there we are. But now tell us about this Amazon Echo show and why you should stay clothed all the time.
Yeah, be careful what you're showing on the show is what I would say. show is the new Echo that has a screen on it and a camera. It's meant to play videos and do video chat with your family. And there's a new feature that came out where I can preset it so someone like my mom in Florida, you know, can just pop in without calling. It won't ring first. It'll just be like an intercom system, right? So you can do intercom from room to room, or you can actually have someone who's in a different state from you even just pop in and go, hey, who's in the kitchen? Anyone there? And doing that means you need to be aware of how you act around the house if you're going to turn this on. So it's optional. You can set who it is. But people are kind of freaking out, going, oh, my God, my privacy. And I'm thinking, like, okay, you're going to turn it on manually. You just need to not walk in the kitchen in your underwear then if you're going to turn it on. Or your mom's going to be seeing more than she wanted to see, maybe. I don't know.
Why would you turn that on? I'm confused as to why you would leave that going. Just like if your mom wanted to check on your daughter.
Yeah, I think it's cooler as a room-to-room intercom system, and you could turn it off, let's say, for if you don't want to have it on anymore. But, like, hey, my kids are playing out of the room. I want to see them in the intercom. I want to ask them to come down, you know, like, for dinner. Like, I guess it's just fun in that regard. But for the calling from someone who doesn't live in the house, that's not a level of trust. And put your Echo show in a place that you're not going to show off too much.
Bridget,
put it in
the closet.
In the bedroom.
I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but your mom sounds like a perv. I'm not trying to offend you, but that's just how it sounds to me, anyway.
I'm just thinking of the what if. We don't have one in the house.
All right.
You never know.
All right.
Like she's a grandma who really is eager to see her baby.
Yeah.
All right. You never know.
Okay.
And you had a daughter, right?
Yes.
What's her name again?
Olivia.
How old is she now?
She just turned one.
Look at that. So
it's a fun age.
And has more computer sense than I do. So what does that tell us? Bridget, thanks so much.
She's actually pretty good with Siri, yeah.
Is she already at one?
That's so cute.
I'm not shocked by that. Thanks for all the information, Bridget. I hope you have a great week.
Yeah, and stay safe out there.
Yes.
And don't tell your mom what Bill said about her, please.
No, please don't tell your mom. I don't need more trouble from your mom. It's Bridget Carey, everybody. Visit CNET. It's CNET.com. We'll take a quick break, then some news, then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Do you like my stupid hair? Why, yes, I do.
Yeah, of course.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We are all happily married on the show, not to each other.
Right.
But we all have spouses.
Yeah.
When you were dating and when I was dating, it was a way different time.
Well,
there was
sure.
No Tinder.
Right.
There was no Grindr.
No Xbox.
Are there dating apps on Xbox?
I don't know if there are or not, but we didn't have an Xbox when I was dating.
Well, the big question comes out now. There are a lot of people hooking up, as they say.
Yes.
So who pays on the first date? No one knows anymore.
Oh, I guess you're right.
First dates multiply in an era of Tinder, and those tabs start adding up. Some women are wary the fake reach for the wallet won't be turned down.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that.
Mm-hmm. Have you?
Not on a date, but, maybe with you guys for lunch, where I fake reach for my wallet, hoping for you to
go faster.
Yeah, that's what you're hoping.
I got this one.
Well, so here are some weird things that are going on. There was this one girl, Tanisha Zandamella, and she would dig around for her wallet on a first date, anticipating that the guy would insist upon paying. That was before she went out with the one who forgot his wallet.
Oh.
Or the one who requested to split the check 50-50 after nearly eating all the food. Now when the bill arrives, she sits still. She doesn't even attempt to do what some call the reach.
Yeah.
If you reach, you could end up with the entire bill, said the 23-year-old from Utah. No one's going to stop you. So who pays? This is a crazy story that I was reading. I got this at the Wall Street Journal. There was a girl, I'm trying to find the story, so let me just, here we go. Alex Paul, 19 years old, said she recently went on a date with a man that she met on Tinder,
mm-hmm.
and she chose not to do the fake reach for, or not to reach for the check, since he had picked the place, and he initiated the date.
Now, I have to ask this, and I ask this sincerely, because I don't know the answer to this. Is Tinder, is that used for dating or is that used for more sexual practices?
I think just to meet someone. I mean, I guess the hopes is to get to that.
Because there are.
Hit
there
a home run.
Yeah. There are. Because there are some websites where the express is to.
Is that Grindr?
Yeah. I guess Grindr would be one.
Well,
no.
Kevin's up on this.
Yeah.
So Tinder, I think that it's sort of at its core. Tinder has a GPS function, so you're looking at people that are close to you. So to me, that kind of suggests.
To just meet them, Kevin, or to.
Well,
to
you hope for more.
Yeah.
Like if you're at a bar, there's a GPS where you can just put that on so you can see people that are on Tinder that are looking for someone too.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
You're at a bar.
Right.
And you have your Tinder app open.
Right.
You can see if there are four other people on Tinder in that bar.
Exactly. Yeah. Or close by to that bar. Yeah. And then
what's the purpose? So it's just to meet them and then whatever happens,
well, if
happens.
They're on
right.
Tinder.
But if you're like looking for proximity, to me, that means you're not being very picky.
No, I guess not.
And
what
then
about
Grindr?
Etsy? What about Etsy? What do you.
Do you buy crafty things?
Oh, all right. Well, that's like Grindr.
What's Grindr?
Grindr is the homosexual variety, I believe. Yeah.
Well, what's the one that it's just expressly for sex? There's one that's just for that, right?
Facebook,
right. It's Facebook.
Oh, like the one. Oh, I know. The Ashley Madison. What was
that
one?
Well, there's
one?
That one.
Ashley Olsen. What's it called?
That one, yeah, Ashley Madison. That was marketed to like married men.
What about Dolly Madison?
Those are people who have a shortcake fetish.
I want to get on that one.
It's Dolly Madison?
Yeah, Dolly Madison. Neat teat treats.
God. All right, so this 19-year-old, Alex Paul, went on a date with a guy she met on Tinder.
Yeah.
So, I mean, technically, Kevin, Tinder is like you're trying to meet somebody.
Sure, I think it goes both ways there, yeah.
Yeah?
No, I thought that was Grindr.
Okay, yes, all that right. too.
So after the man took her home, after their date,
yeah,
he sent her a $20 invoice via the mobile payment app
what?
Venmo for her portion of the meal.
Oh, no.
The West Virginia University student said she blocked him on Venmo and did not pay the bill.
That's gutsy.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
We talked about this before.
So a guy meets a girl. Let me make sure I'm getting the sequence right. And he wants to go out on a date, and they go on a date.
And he initiated it, and he chose the place.
And then sent
he
her
paid
an invoice
for, it.
For half of the meal.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
It must have not gone well, then. There
no.
has to be more to it there.
So he was expecting more to happen, obviously, right? Is that why he was upset? Or we don't know that. I
don't have any more information right. on that. I just think it is so
that's
unbelievably
tacky.
Rude.
Yeah, that's awful.
I mean, in the old days when you went on a date, and I know you're very chivalrous,
yeah.
you would always pay.
I did. Always.
I always opted to split it because it's
did
a first
you?
Date. I don't want to feel like I owe him anything.
I don't think I was. I know for a fact I was never doing it because I felt I was owed anything. I just kind of grew up believing that the guy should pay. And I know that seems like it's 1,000 years ago, but...
Get John McEnroe on the phone, yeah, see what he thinks about this.
John McEnroe. I want to talk to him about this, Kevin. But if I were in the dating pool today, and I'd be in the deep end of that pool, Wendy. I'd be in the deep end with no floaties. I would not have
no
a floatie.
Floaties.
I would still insist that I would pay. I just think the guy should pay.
I feel the person who initiated the date, even like girlfriends, like, I don't know. That would be, if I asked somebody, hey, you want to go out to lunch?
Mm-hmm.
I would assume I'm paying. Because someone asked me out to lunch. I'm not going to name names, and please don't, because I think you know who it was.
Uh-huh.
And she said, hey, let's go out to lunch.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any money on me, and I was going to go to the cash station,
right.
which I'm the only one who calls it a cash station. It's an ATM, I
oh,
guess.
Oh, yeah.
And you said the person who asks usually is going to pick up the
situation,
tab.
Situation, don't you?
That's what I thought.
Yeah. I would imagine whoever initiates it there would pick it up.
The rules aren't complicated, according to etiquette experts. If you invite, you pay.
But what if? Here's a scenario that I'm in almost every day. You would go out with another couple. This happened with Steve Bertrand yesterday. I said we were talking about a restaurant that's near both of us, and I said we should all go out there.
And you pulled out your date book, and Steve just said, "Yeah, we'll do it sometime."
Right. He's very non-specific. He just said in the future, and then he stormed
right.
out. He just left the room. But I think if once it reaches the proportion of couples or even families,
you split it.
Yeah, then you would split it, right?
Well, because yeah, that'd be a big ass bill.
Yeah. Right.
Bertrand eats a lot.
He does. Boy, does he.
See, I'm trying to think. We've gone out with a group of people, and the bill comes, and this is really weird, too. When we have gone out with a big group, say 10 people or
yeah.
12 people, we pass around the bill, and everybody kind of figures out what they owe.
You don't just split it
no.
10 ways or 12 ways?
Not when there's that many people, because there are some people who don't drink.
Oh, yeah.
So really, in a way, why should
yeah.
they pay more?
No, that's true, I guess.
But if someone asks, and according to this etiquette expert, Diane Gotsman, author of Modern Etiquette for a Better Life,
yeah.
if you invite, you pay, but the reality is that the other person may not know the rules or realize that it's a date.
See, that's the tricky part is you don't know if it's just a person looking for a companionship for a meal or if it is a date. So you got to get that in a contract. Yeah, bring a contract, like a 12-pager, and have them initial stuff.
But if I were dating today,
yeah.
if I was
your
dating
husband
today,
would be furious.
Well, that's first and foremost.
He would be.
But even when I did go on dates, I wanted to, I felt uncomfortable someone I just met paying for
really?
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know if there's any future here. So let's just split it, and then we're on an even route here.
I guess so. I guess. But even there were a couple times, you know, the girl would ask me out, and I would still insist that I pay. And it wasn't because then I thought, well, now you owe me. That never came into play. I just
not once.
No, never. No.
You were just being gentlemanly.
I just felt. Yeah, the guy should pay. And I know that times have changed a little bit, but I still subscribe to that theory. I think the guy should pay.
You're so chivalrous.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Dressed like Sir Lancelot on the date, too.
No, more like Lancelot Link.
Right, secret chimp.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I just stabbed myself with a pen.
I think the guy should do that. I don't think you should stab yourself. You should let a guy stab you with a pen.
Glenn, what's it like when you go out with other couples? Because I don't know the proper way. I like to kind of split it, but recently my friends have been passing the bill around, and we're all kind of trying to figure out what we owe. How do you do it?
Well, when we went on vacation with five different couples, and it was a big vacation thing, and we made an agreement up front day one that we were not going to do that where you had the ice cream and I had cookies and you had the big salad. It was just, plus we were probably intoxicated by the end of the evening anyway.
You couldn't keep track.
We just threw, everybody had an agreement. Everybody just threw one credit card into the middle. And then we gave all five credit cards to the wait staff, told them they had 20 in, and then that was it. There was no hassles. No, and we figured at the end of a week's vacation, everybody would end up breaking even.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fair way to do it. Although I feel sorry for the wait person, and I've done that with girlfriends, too. It's like, you know, we figure it out, split it down the middle, and it's like 36 on each card. That includes
right.
tip.
Yeah.
But then I feel bad if there's like five cards for the wait person to do.
Well, you know, there are some things that the wait staff have to suffer with.
Yeah,
true.
They're getting a 20% tip on a table of 10 people. I don't think that they're going to be devastated on the fact that they might have to do an extra minute and a half worth of work.
That's true. More people, more work.
Yeah.
Exactly. And more tip.
That's yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Because we definitely tip back three or four cocktails, you know, during dinner.
That's
so,
not bad,
I mean,
then.
They made a dollar or two on us. So it was definitely worthwhile. And Bill, asking of one thing more, what you were saying, the guy should always, you know, if you ask the guy, hey, no matter who asks, think of how awkward it is when the guy asks the husband. You know, like when my husband and I started dating, who pays then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess that does complicate that. Right.
Oh, good point.
Right. That's true.
Uh-huh.
I don't know the answer to that.
And we both do the reach back for the wallet.
Why wouldn't you? That's right. That's
it's
legit.
A draw.
Thanks, Glenn.
Draw thing. Sure.
Have a good week. All right.
Thank you, Glenn. Yes, you didn't think of that.
I never thought of that.
Kathy's on the line. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
We're good.
Good. Now, I think when I go to lunch with the girls, no matter who initiates it, we just pay our fair share. Because otherwise, some would never go. I mean,
that's
I think
true.
You should just pay your own fare. And going out with a guy, I'm widowed, so I go out with a friend, and we split it right off the bat. And I have another one that I go out with, and of course he wants to pay for it all the time. But I do pop here and there. I try to get it where I'm not owing.
But you don't itemize. Like I've seen it's. I hate to say this, but it's true. It is more a woman thing than a guy thing to itemize and go, all right, you had the omelet and an orange juice, and you had the French toast and a chocolate
milk. I like to
milk.
Just split it in half.
Split it up.
You know what? Certain meals you don't worry about it.
Right.
But if somebody's sitting in there popping five martinis,
that would be me.
That's fine.
Then I should pay more.
The Wendy rule.
You should just put in extra. They can split it up, but just throw extra in on the tip or something.
That's
a great idea, Kathy. Thank you so much. We have to take a quick break. 312-981-7200. Who pays on a date, and do you have to sign a contract beforehand like Bill has suggested?
Yes. Yep. Needs to be under contract. We'll take a quick break and then more at Bill and Money WGN.
We were talking about dating in this day and age of dating apps and who pays. Some woman, Alex Poole, a 30-year-old lawyer, moved to New York, and she said at a recent drinks meetup, she asked her date if they were planning to order food since they hadn't specified beforehand, and the guy goes, don't you have food at home?
Oh, that's nice.
I would leave. That would
He's
be the end
keeper.
Of the date.
Marry that guy quick.
Thanks to the growing number of online dating services, the economic dynamics of playing the field have changed. According to analysis conducted by Deutsche Bank, paying for two people in New York or San Francisco check this out, to go to a movie and have a meal plus a few beers and taxi rides comes to about $130. Three of those a week, more than $20,000 a year.
Oh, wow.
So who pays? That's what we're talking about. And, you know, we're not going back to the old days. This, with these dating apps, I would, you know, you might be going on five dates a week trying to find someone.
Probably possible, sure.
Tony, what do you think?
Well, here's what I do. When we make our arrangements, I'm up front and I say, I'll be more than happy to pay for dinner, but you have to leave the tip. And what ends up happening is if it's a $100 bill and she leaves like a $5 or $7 tip, I know
that you will never ask her out again.
Right, that there's somebody I don't want to be with. She's way too cheap, which is, you know, it's a good indicator. So,
and is that the reason you do that? Is to test?
Test.
Is that why? Because that's brilliant.
Yeah, kind of.
Wow.
Yeah. So, it seems to work out. So,
that's a very smart move. I never would have thought of that.
Are you an undercover officer, Tony? Because this is a nice plan.
I should be, but.
Tony, and you've learned from this, right? This is you have figured out whether or not they're good enough for you, basically, right?
Right. Yeah. If it's a $100 bill and she leaves a $20 or something, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's very good. All right.
But I've had them leave $7 on a $100 bill, and I'm like, forget it.
Yeah. And then you cover the balance, right? You pick up the extra couple of bucks there, don't you?
Always bothering you, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. When if she, you know, when we get up, I might throw a few more bucks down. Something like that.
That's the way to be. All right. Good.
Thanks, Tony.
No problem.
I have been out with people where they go, I'll get the tip or something, or I've noticed that if we split it, they're, you know, $5 or $6 short. So I do. I make up for it.
You can't control everything.
Well, it's not controlling everything. I feel for the wait person.
But that's when you should say to the person leaving the tip,
hey
cheapo.
Right.
Could you add, I mean, that's not 20%.
Throw a couple more bucks in, cheapo, the clown.
He did not do very well.
Cheapo the clown?
No.
Terrible.
All right, Ted, your last comment on this subject.
That's when I was out with my grandparents. My brother and I would both go with them. My grandpa goes, grab one of the kids, and you and I will go Dutch.
Wait, you don't even pay for your grandparents? Or you mean when you were little?
I do. When I was 14, my brother was 6 years younger. We went every place my grandparents went.
Yeah.
So
the way to do it was...
grab one and the other grab the other.
Yeah.
And they just, over the table, they said, let's go Dutch tonight.
A tribute to Vincent van Gogh, Wendy. They were big Vincent van Gogh
fans. I would do the same thing in Springfield. I was there for 18 years.
Yeah.
I'd take somebody for dinner or something. I'd say, you pick up the tab. I'll pay the bill. Because I want to see what they leave. I want to see how much I'm going to get, maybe as a contribution for working my hiney off.
Wait, you just said you pick up the tab. I'll pay the bill? Because that's the same thing.
He meant tip.
Oh, the tip. Oh, okay. All right.
The tip.
All right. That makes more sense.
All right. Well. Yeah. Happy dining, Ted. Very
thanks, Ted.
Hey, God bless. Bye.
All right.
Wow. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. We must take a break, Wendy. It is time to take a break. We learned from this.
Are we going to tip Kim Gordon for doing the
news?
Yeah,
Kim Gordon's going to get the standard 20% tip doing the news. Stick around for that. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.
I'll take it.
All right. Why not?
Bill, you can handle Kim's tip. 20% of that would be how much?
20% of Kim's tip. She'll get $19.80 from us.
All right.
You're welcome,
There's lunch.
Kim. There's lunch is right.
Wait, you only get $20 a day. That's going to leave you with 20 cents.
I don't need.
Oh, Bill, I can't do that to
I
you.
I don't need a lot to survive.
Our plan worked out wonderfully.
Wendy, did you know, now they've been building, they've been working on this for about a year and a half now, just a little bit south of us, right on the Chicago River. They're building a new store, a new Apple store. You know this. You see the cranes every day.
Yeah.
Right? Did you know that when it's completed, do you know what it's going to look like?
Do you
know what their
design plan
is?
Yes, I do, and I'm pretty excited about it.
Tell everybody what it's going to look like.
It's going to look like a giant laptop.
Yes, it is. I didn't
know
that.
A MacBook.
I've walked past it
80 times. You can't
tell. I guess you have to almost see it from above, right?
Go climb on the crane or on top of Abe Lincoln's hat.
I get yelled at every time I do that. I've done that a couple times, and somebody important looking always yells at me. You can't climb Honest Abe. Well, you should put a sign up that says that, because it doesn't say you can't.
I think this is a really cool idea.
It is, but as I look at the pictures, I say to myself, I don't think you'll be able to tell that it looks like a giant laptop from street level. I think you almost have to be above because it'll just look kind of like a building unless you're way up above it.
Is it is the lid of it going to be open or it's closed?
It's closed.
I should still be open. Think you'll
be
able
to, if it was open.
I still think you'll be able you'll to be tell able to it's tell? A laptop.
All right, so here's the question that I ask you. With the giant laptop that'll be south of us and the giant Abe Lincoln that's also
that'll
south
be gone
of us,
by then.
Oh, I don't think so.
Lincoln did not use a computer, especially an Apple.
No, he didn't have a
Mac.
Computer. There is now also a giant deer on the, you know, the river walk that they've been working on. This morning as I took the walk, there is now a giant deer on there. So what's going on with giant stuff again? There was a time when we were kids where if you drove around places, there'd be giant Paul Bunyans, you know, at places.
That was at Paul Bunyan's hot dog place on right. Ogden Avenue in Berwyn, right. Across from Henry's Hot Dogs, right. Which I still go to, that has a giant hot dog out there.
Why are we as adults still so enamored with things that look normal but are giant size?
Well, there's even that giant food show TV on the Food Network.
Yeah, there is.
With the humongous pizza and the humongous hot dog and cheeseburger.
Yeah. And I'll admit, when I see those...
It's pretty impressive to see giant things. I'm sorry.
Although I don't get, like, a lot of times if you drive past a used car dealership or even some new car dealerships, they'll have an inflatable giant gorilla.
Inflatable doesn't count.
I don't understand the correlation. Like, would you ever see a giant gorilla and go, you know, I hadn't really thought about purchasing a car, but I see that huge gorilla. I should really get myself a car.
It draws attention to it. So later, if you're looking for a car, you'll go, oh, that
I gotta
place
go where the big
fun.
Gorilla got his car.
They give you a free banana with purchase.
He seems so content with his Honda Civic. I'm going to go where their giant gorilla went.
But the inflatables don't count as cool to me. That's just like, oh, look at that.
And there's also the one that's shaped like a skinny guy that keeps having like
Better
a,
Call Saul
a
got
conniption.
His,
he's like
his wardrobe from that.
Right. He's wearing like a leisure suit and he's flailing with the wind. He's
the
like
dancing man.
Yeah, he's like dancing. I don't. Does that make you want to buy something there when you see that?
It's just supposed to catch your attention, which it does.
Right.
Although sometimes it doesn't work because I just get mesmerized by the dancing man and I don't look at the business right. That's in front of.
Right. That man can dance. What about this? When there's guys on strike somewhere, they will oftentimes bring a giant rat.
I know.
Does that work?
Good for them. It catches my eye. I like big things.
I never saw that till I moved here.
That's big here.
Yeah, but really big here. I never saw it in Kentucky.
In the South, they
ever.
Don't have that
no.
at all?
Yeah, but
no.
It's in recent years. It hasn't, like when I was a kid, I never saw a giant rat like that. That would have scared me.
It's been in the last, I'd say, 5 to 10 years that anytime there's a strike going on, somebody brings a giant rat.
Because that was new to me.
Yeah.
So, Kim, it's not like long ago there were giant rats.
But don't you ever think that, like, there's rats looking at it going, come on. I know better than that's not that's inflatable. That's not a giant rat.
But all I think of
there
when
are those some rats the size of that rat in Chicago right. Somewhere, guaranteed.
There's bigger than that, way bigger.
I always, whenever I see that, I don't think union. I always think you dirty rat. You
right.
killed my
Me
brother.
Too.
Right, James. Oh, I miss James Cagney. Every time I walk past that, oh, I wish we had James Cagney.
But come on, there was. I love giant things. There was Paul Bunyan's restaurant when we went. It was in the Wisconsin Dells, I think,
yeah,
or somewhere there.
Right.
We went on a family trip. As my aunt almost punched someone when they put the Tommy Bartlett Water Show sticker on her car. She got in a big fight with the guy. Did I give you permission? No, but we do it to everyone. Take it off.
Really?
That was
Did
aunt.
She make
aunt.
Them take it off.
Yeah.
Good.
And so we went to Paul Bunyan's, and I was mesmerized by the giant gallons of bottles of milk that would come.
Yeah.
The pieces, the loaf of bread was giant, so when you'd cut a slice, it's just,
I think
it's
everybody
cool.
has an element of that.
That's why they
That's
do it.
That's why there's the big Abe Lincoln. That's why there's the big lap book. I've told you this. The thing I want most, and it's my wife
what?
Would kill me,
oh.
is I want a big boy statue.
I like can't believe she won't approve that.
Oh, there's not even negotiable.
It would look so good in your backyard.
Yeah,
Kim, it would look fantastic in our backyard. But she would have my head. And look at how silly I look with my head. Can you imagine my wife with my head? That would be the worst thing for everybody. But she had said to me, because we've
talked... As long as it's the only statue back there, if you start adding more than one, you got to stop.
I would totally stop at that.
You don't want to clutter up your yard. If you've got a big boy, that makes it statement.
Just get
one.
Why
don't you start dressing like big boy until she gives in?
It wouldn't be a big stretch.
A little more red and white, right. But other than that, you're close.
I'm almost there now.
You'd have to coif your hair a little differently.
She's heard us talk about it on the show, and she always goes, you know, I'll kill you. She goes, if you got one, I would kill you. And she would.
You should just, you got to find one, get a, you know, preferably free, but a good deal on it, and then just pose it like it's peeking out behind the garage, just so she'll go out in the yard one time and she'll just see it peeking out.
You'd never see me again.
Yes,
they would
I
never
would.
Find my
you
body.
You need to get a summer home so you can put your big boy statue out there, right on the overlooking the lake.
That would be weird.
Holding his burger.
I would get a reputation with the neighbors. Like at my house, my neighbors already know something's wrong with me, so it wouldn't matter.
So it would fit in.
Right.
Now's the time to do it. If you ever move, you can never do it.
We have on our fence in the back, there's these decorative posts that we have at the top of the fence. And one of them, I don't know what happened to it, but as the years have gone on, it kind of just broke off. And I tried to reason with my wife and say, this would be the good time to just put the big boy where that post used to be. But she won't even entertain the idea. It's just ridiculous.
I think it would be perfect.
It would be, right?
Although, I'm thinking if Jimmy Mack would want to put like a big Yoda in our backyard,
I wouldn't.
But Big Boy's cooler. Because it's
in
nostalgia.
In a nostalgic way, right?
But Yoda is nostalgic to him.
Oh, I guess so.
All right, maybe I agree with Terry.
I agree with Terry. I'm serious. Like every time I'd look out there, I would have two mixed emotions. I'd go, that's so cool. I finally got what I wanted. I got a giant Big Boy. And not like a replica, because people have been very kind and have sent me little, like...
Oh, that
rubber
doesn't
ones.
Count.
Those are nice. I love those. I got a nice one in my office that a listener sent. But I want the big. They're like 10 feet tall.
Okay, Bill, here's what would make it cool.
What?
If you guys built a really cool outdoor kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, like how people have outdoor rooms and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then you could have this cool Big Boy statue
that
in
would
there.
Be. I would love that.
I mean, I might even go for that if I were to.
Yeah? All right.
Yeah, like brick it in, like they have the outdoor counter. Yeah.
You know, like
things?
How Guy Fieri has that outdoor kitchen.
Do that.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
But
problem
that's going to cost a lot of money just to get the Big Boy there.
But I could sell it to Terry as, this is for you. We're doing this for you.
Right, it's an outdoor room.
Right.
I'll make you burgers every night.
Every day.
Because
I'll
you cook so
boy.
Much at your house. That's what's really neat.
Right.
You do grill, though.
We do. And
You do need that. Boy, you can make yourself a brawny lad from the Big Boy.
All right, Kim, you're pushing
when
it.
You guys say it, it makes sense. When I
you want
when
Kim to call Terry?
Yes. Yes.
She won't listen to me because I'm his partner in crime.
Right.
So, but she'd listen to Kim Gordon, maybe.
Kim's got like the voice of reason. So.
That's what Judy always says.
It's true.
All right, well, we were talking about the giant rat. Tim, I got to be honest with you. I don't 100% know what the rat means. So will you help me?
Yeah, that rat, that doesn't mean they're on strike. That's a company that's working that's not in the union. So the union...
Oh,
they're the rats.
Right, they are the rats.
They're the rats.
Yeah.
I guess I knew that.
Yeah, they're just showing that the company that's working, doing the job is not in the union.
And, Tim, do you think that when there's a situation like that, do you think that matters? Like, does that get the problem solved any quicker when somebody brings a giant rat?
No.
It doesn't, does it?
No, it just goes to show you how wasteful that our union dues are.
Right.
Because those guys are getting paid by the hour to sit out there with this rat.
What if the company that brings giant rats goes on strike? What do they do?
I don't know, but I'd like to shoot that rat.
All right.
Yeah, but they're also standing up for something they believe.
No,
without a doubt. So.
Without a doubt.
Well, everybody has the right to work. So if you own a small company and you're doing a job, you may not be able to afford to pay union dues, health and welfare, and pension.
That's absolutely true.
Right.
So the union says that doesn't matter. This is not a right to work state, so you have to pay the health and welfare and pension and union dues for your people. Well, you can't do that. There's not enough money.
All right. Well, they should be able to strike and hold signs, but the rat should be gone.
The rat's too much.
Yeah, well, sometimes they got a rat out there holding a guy in his hand, like he's choking him.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, I've seen that.
Violence.
Yeah.
Well, it's a rat.
I've seen that.
It doesn't promote violence.
Then giant Abe Lincoln has to come and try to get rid of the giant rat. It's crazy.
Got a giant rat holding a construction guy around the neck that's not promoting violence.
It does.
All right. Well, thanks for clearing that up, Tim. I appreciate
it.
All right. Have a good day.
You thanks. Too. Abe Lincoln was an exterminator?
Side job, yeah. President slash vampire hunter slash exterminator.
Speaking of Abe Lincoln, Mary, you have some Abe Lincoln news? Giant Abe Lincoln?
Well, there is a giant Abe Lincoln on I-57 going. I go to Kankakee frequently. And, yes, I forget what it represents there, but, you know, they're for Abe Lincoln.
It's the land of Lincoln.
Land of Lincoln. You could put one anywhere.
Nice and tall.
What's he doing in that? Because the one that we have down here in the city, he's giving directions to a guy for some reason. I don't know why.
Perry Como. That's who it looks like.
Yeah, it looks like Perry Como.
No, he's just, I think, to catch your attention and that they believe, you know, in our past president, probably more than our.
Well, you know.
But he's very noticeable, and he's got a big, tall hat, and he's very tall and skinny, and he's smiling.
Oh.
So, and, you know, he's known as Honest Abe, so he expects you to keep under the speed limit. Be
right.
honest is what his right. message is.
Yeah, Honest Abe. But, you know, I think it's hysterical, this whole conversation. But the rat really, I don't like that rat.
No.
It also, you know, it's intimidating. Maybe companies wouldn't want to, you know, it means a lot of different things, I think. You know, other companies wouldn't want to be portrayed as the rotten
Right.
Yeah.
So true.
Enjoy your conversation as usual.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks, Mary. We covered the big topics in life.
Yeah.
The giant rats. The big topics. Get it?
Yeah.
Big.
Yeah. All right. We must take a break. We'll come back in just a few minutes. If you'd like to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. We're talking about giant things that keep cropping up. It's like when we were kids, there was giant stuff all over the place, and then that stopped, but now there's giant stuff again.
Well, we learned that there's a giant Abe Lincoln on I-57 on the way to Kankakee.
Yeah.
In Collinsville, Illinois, they have a giant Brooks catsup bottle. And yes, I'm saying catsup. Not ketchup. And that is their town water tower.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
There's a Superman statue in Metropolis, Illinois.
I knew that.
Giant.
I've seen that. I've not been in there in person, but I've seen pictures of it.
In Wilmington, Illinois, which is Southtown I-55. A tad bit.
Yeah.
What do they say? A ways?
A ways away.
The Gemini Giant is a landmark statue on Route 66 at the eastern entrance to Wilmington, Will County, Illinois.
Oh.
It's a giant statue of a spaceman.
What if, why?
That's the Gemini.
Oh, that's really cool. Wendy's showing, for people who are not here in the studio, Wendy's showing me a picture.
He's holding a rocket.
But it has like a great 1950s sci-fi look to it. I'll see if my wife will let me put that in our backyard instead of the big boy.
This is way bigger.
That's way bigger. In Detroit, I don't remember whose company has this, but there's a huge, giant tire.
Firestone or Goodyear or something,
Someone's
one of those.
Someone's got this gigantic tire. And I'm trying to remember what there is in Atlanta that I saw. There's a giant something when you go to Atlanta that's like the tire, but it's something more.
A donut, maybe?
No.
Am I thinking of The Simpsons?
Yeah.
All right, Jim, what do you have for us?
Am I on?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Bill, it's Jim Fine.
Jim, how are you? What did you
I'm
see?
Good.
This is a weird question, but what did you see a big one of? I'm sorry for the question. It's none of my business.
A big wiener. I'm teaching up in Madison this month, and I couldn't believe it, but the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile stops traffic without any trouble at all.
Oh, yeah.
Big, giant wieners, you know. So.
It's still a thrill to see that.
It is. Do they still give out the little whistles that are shaped like a wiener?
I didn't stop to ask for a whistle.
Oh, well.
When I was a kid living up there, they gave them out, sure. Yeah.
And for the rest of us who don't know Jim Fine, Bill?
Jim is one of our nation's finest tennis players. It's true.
And also the official folk singer of the 1986 Winter Olympics.
Yeah, the official folk singer of the 1980 Winter Olympics. So there you have it. Jim, thank you. Appreciate
nice to meet
it.
You, Jim.
That's
Thanks,
Jim
guys.
Fine,
Love
Wendy.
Love the program. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
It's very good taste.
All right. This is Cicero. Hi, Cicero.
Yes. Hey, how you doing?
Fine, Cicero. What did you see?
It's the Uniroyal tire going into Detroit.
It is, isn't it? It's Uniroyal. And it's like, is it 4 or 5 stories high, would you say?
At least.
Yeah, it's gigantic.
Oh, my God, that would make the best tire swing ever.
It would, wouldn't it? Well, thank you, Cicero. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
It is. It's Uniroyal Tire. Because I think are they based there? Or
they must be.
Right?
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Did you bring up the giant cigar store Indian yet?
Oh, totally forgot. On Pulaski Road, right?
Yes, and if you look at it at a certain angle, is it his thumb or something else that looks like he's pitching a teepee?
Seriously?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
There's also one on like 95th near Southwest Highway near 95th, too.
And that's a cigar store on Pulaski, correct?
I think
it used to
it
be.
Was.
I think it's an optometry.
Yeah, that
now.
Sounds right. Yeah, that sounds right. It's been there for like 50 or 60 years, and it's very strange to see. It's just so out of.
It's
in
really
with all
cool.
These other buildings.
But
and
see,
then,
it's giant, so we love it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin, for reminding us.
One other thing. There's that office building in Ohio that's shaped like a giant picnic basket.
Is there really? I didn't know that. What was the reason behind that?
I think they make the picnic baskets, but the whole thing is the outside looks like a picnic basket.
That's excellent.
Where is this?
In Ohio, I think.
In Ohio. I think it's in Ohio.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Take care.
It is the world's largest basket in Newark, Ohio. A 7-story building shaped like a basket. Oh, the Longaberger Basket Company.
Oh.
Unbelievably
cool. So those
cool.
are their corporate offices or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, and it's shaped Longaberger baskets. I have been to many a Longaberger party. They're a little expensive, but they're made beautifully, and they look just like that building.
So if you commit to something like that, you can never move. I mean, you have to be there forever because no one's going to buy a building that's shaped like a picnic basket.
Probably not.
Right? You can't become like a hospital or any. You have to keep it that. That's forever.
Or a biscuit store could buy that. Right. Let's put the biscuit in the basket.
Right, they could. That's true.
That's so cool. 7 stories shaped like a giant picnic basket. Good for them. But you're right, they can't move.
Think about that meeting, though, where they're submitting different plans for the building and somebody brings in the giant picnic basket. I know you're going to laugh when I show you this. I get it. But just keep an open mind.
You know, if we're moving WGN Radio, we should construct like a giant old-time microphone building. Wouldn't
right.
that be cool?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, we'll work on that.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got news, and then a giant-sized Steve Bertrand will come in, and we'll find out what he has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.